Want to greet you this evening too, and in Jesus' name, Ernie. That last song that you led almost made me get out of my seat. I remember years back, sitting in church, we had revivals, and this song would show up. Thank you for being here. Good to see you both. We had revivals, and that song seemed to always be one that they sang. And I remember the many, many years that I sat there. Knowing that the Father was drawing me, I said, no. Praise God. There was a time where I said, yes. Tonight we're going to look at what happened so He could call us. So He could ask us to come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, shed for you. How beautiful is that? And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Thank you. Mercy. I look at that and I see what Jesus did and I see the calling. He still bids us to come to Him. I don't know about you, but a service like tonight kind of gives you a little bit of a feeling of sadness. I told my wife I'm wearing black tonight. Not because... Well, because of death. I'm not planning to wear this Sunday morning. Ernie, you can wear your Sunday morning. It's okay. But tonight I'm wearing black with the idea that there's death. We're going to celebrate that tonight. Leon's going to share with us Sunday morning in the early service. He's got a different story to tell because of what happened here tonight. He has something else to share with us. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles. I'd like for you to go to Isaiah 42. I said Isaiah 42. I meant Isaiah 52. I'm going to use my New Living Translation. You can follow along in the King James or New Living or whatever that you have tonight. I want to read three verses out of Isaiah 52. I've titled my message this morning, In Remembrance of Me. Pretty simple, isn't it? Because of the verse that Chad read to us this evening. This do in remembrance of me. Isaiah chapter 52, the first three verses say this. And I want you to think about this. This was prophesied many, many years before it actually happened. Wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. For unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion, for this is what the Lord says. When I sold you into exile, I received no payment. Now I can redeem you without having to pay for you. Let's go over to chapter 53. Actually, we'll look at verse 9 and 10 first here in the same chapter of 52. Verse 9 says, The ruins of Jerusalem... Break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Look at that verse. It says, He has redeemed Jerusalem. We have been redeemed as believers today. Verse 10, The Lord has demonstrated His holy power before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of God. I need to read that in the King James just to show us something. Verse 10 says, The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. I had to think about this as young guys. We like to pull up our sleeve. You know, we want to really show what we've got. And I had to think about that. The Lord made bare his arm. He was showing his strength, his power. Verse 9, which we just read, I want to bring out two words. Break forth, this is the King James again, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Now let's go to chapter 53. And as we read through this, I want you just to allow your mind to wander back. We're going to go to the garden here in a bit. But your mind to wander back, I just realize the fact that this is what Jesus had to read. I have a book at home that's called The Bible That Jesus Read. This was part of it, Isaiah 53. And this is speaking about him. Isaiah 53, verse 1. I'm going to read that in the NOT also. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract him to us. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. That last verse really struck me as I was reading through this. King James says it this way, the last part of that, he was numbered with the transgressors. That's you and I. He was numbered with the transgressors. But look what happened. He bare the sin of many, and then he made intercession for the transgressor. That's also you and I. He made intercession for us. I'd like for you to go to Matthew 26. Now, I realize Harold talked about the garden the other night. And I told Harold that's kind of where I'm going tonight, too, for a bit. And he was okay with that, I think. Matthew 26, let's go to verse 36. I just want to look at a little bit at Jesus in the garden. And we're not going to go too deep into this, but praying that God will allow this to touch our hearts this evening and to realize why we are here. Verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then cometh Jesus with them, the disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. As I was looking at this, I was trying to let my mind go back. I wasn't there, but I was trying to imagine a little bit what it was like. But the disciples all traveling together with Jesus, they come to Gethsemane, and Jesus tells the disciples, Sit here. I'm going to go over a little distance. I'm going to pray. I need to talk to my dad. And then he took his inner circle, the three. He took them with him. And it says he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I looked at those words for a while today. The word sorrowful has the idea of he was grieved. There was a deep distress. And then he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I think just their presence with him there was a blessing. Can you guys stay with me? I'm facing something that is really, really difficult. Stick with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And I could only imagine what was happening in the heavens. As he was talking to his Father there in the garden, the battle that was going on from two different sides. He was asking his Father, is it possible that this could pass? But then he said, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Then he gave them some instructions. He said, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. We're seeing a progression here. The first one he asked, Can you take it? I'll still do it if you want me to. This one, if it's not going to pass, except I drink it, I'll do your will. There's a scripture in Hebrews 5. It says, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. His obedience to the Father. Let's go back to verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He comes and he tells him, Go ahead and keep on sleeping if you like. I think he came. The battle that he fought, I think, was probably the strongest right here. That's my view of this. Because this is where he learned, this is where he finally said, You know, Father, whatever you want,
I will give it to you. And then he could move on to what he was going to face.
There's a scripture in Luke 22 that I thought was so precious tonight as I was reading this. And in that scripture it says that an angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We know the Father, it says he was pleased, that he was willing to suffer. But yet there's something here that I saw as I was studying this afternoon. I'm not sure that the Father had yet turned his back on him. I think that might have come a little bit later. But at this point, I believe he saw his struggle. And I'm just imagining here. But did he tell an angel, he's suffering, can you go? Can you go strengthen him? I don't know what happened there. But there was an angel that appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And in that, I had to think, you know, we go through lots of things in life, every one of us. God cares for us too. And I believe he needs us to call out to him. John 19:30, there's one verse that is not in the rest of the Gospels. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, this was after he was beaten. He was spit on. He was slapped in the face. His beard hairs were pulled out. A crown of thorns was laid on his head and beaten in. This was after he told the guy next to him on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise. It was after he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What does that mean to you tonight? It is finished. The only one that was perfect and pure to come take on our sins, take him and nail him to the cross. Then he said, it's finished. I've completed the plan. I've done everything that you ask of me, Father. It's finished. There's something else that happened when he said it was finished. There was a way opened up for us to come right into the Father. Something else that happened when he said it was finished. The old covenant was now done. He gave us a new covenant. The new covenant was love God, love your neighbor, love those around you. And as I was looking at that this afternoon, I had to check my heart. Is my relationship with him where it should be, so it can be where it should be with each one of you here? Is that where my relationship's at? 1 John 3:16, here perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how we understand his love, laying down his life for us. And we need to do the same for our brothers and sisters. I want to close with a verse, and then we're going to have a song that I'd like for Jonathan to play here in just a bit. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this earthly life, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So tonight we're going to I'm going to use the word celebrate. Remember. As we take the bread and as we take the cup, we remember his body that's broken. Remember the blood that flowed for us so we can have that eternal life and be with him throughout all of eternity. I'd like for you to play a song. Would you stand with me as I